Everyone, if I make any errors, you'll have to excuse me. This is a long time since I've been up here to do the worship leader thing. So anyway, announcements are board meeting, ed board meeting will meet Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, on July the 18th at 6:30 a.m. So all those that are involved in that, please be sure to come. The other announcements we have were, when using the church facilities, make sure that you close off the lights before you leave and make sure the doors are locked. VPS is in the park on Wednesdays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Doorfield. You're all invited to help or go and have some fun. And then the next highway pickup is a week from today at 1 o'clock after this church meets, and everybody meet at the DPW building, and you all know where that is. And there will be bags for everyone and safety vest. And wear sturdy shoes and bring your friends and bring young hands and young feet. They need those especially. And then the other announcement I have is the House of Hope is having a fundraiser on August the 4th at the courthouse. It's a bake sale, and any baked goods, if you pre-pack your items, please do so 4 to 6 in a bag. And they'll price them so they will all be the same. And if you have any questions, call Bobby Frohner. And I believe that's all the announcements I have. Are there any announcements out there? Nope. Okay. Let's see. Do we have any birthdays? We have a couple of birthdays here. John Darling, July the 18th. July the 20th, Darlene Ross. July the 20th, Helen Shin. And July the 21st, Connie Brzezinski. And on the 25th, we have Beth Mavis. And we have no anniversaries until July the 25th. Happy birthday to you. What do we do now? Do Shirley, Shirley? Sing Shirley, Shirley? Oh, okay. We'll do it. Okay, well, we're going to do Shirley, Shirley first. In your hymnal, I'll have to look it up the page number. We have 5 minutes. 328 of your hymnal. Turn to 328 of your hymnal. Please quiet your minds for the service. Thank you. We still have lots. Praise song. Okay, well, we're singing it twice through, more precious than gold. We have 2 minutes.
Do you have another one? No, just one. She mentioned that, yes. This is Bobby, if you need to see her about that bake sale.
By the bake sale, yes. Is it on the courthouse lawn? Is it on the courthouse lawn?
Thank you.
Pastor Lisa?
Yes.
Could you please add the farmers and the people that were in the past?
Absolutely. We'll be praying about that for sure. That was, they certainly did. Some in our area too, absolutely devastating. Yes, we will be praying for all of those storms that happened on Friday and the devastation they left. Absolutely.
And Heritage will be with us.
Heritage
Methodist Church will be here with us. Never mind.
No.
That's okay.
No.
Never mind.
No.
That's okay.
We have 30 seconds.
We have 30 seconds. Wow. I talked too fast, didn't I? Sorry about that.
We'll be praying.
Whoops. There goes something.
There we go.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of the United Methodist Church in Sandusky, Michigan, and we welcome our radio audience also. Our mission statement is, go make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our vision statement is, love, care, share like Christ. Pastor Lisa Clark will be bringing us this morning message, and I'm Catherine Phillips, and I'm the worship leader for this morning's service. What we do? Okay, please stand for the call to worship. You will read the bold print. Come in from busy summertime days for this place of worship. We come to connect with God's word. Come in from the stress of everyday life into the light of knowledge. We come as seekers of truth. Come into worship with offerings of praise. We come to hear the word in response.
God, gather us into this moment of reverence, celebration, and growth. As your sons and daughters, we long for renewed faith and meaning in our lives. Christ's parable of the sower lights our path with its images of rocky ground, tangled thorns, and green shoots. May the light of your word illuminate our way and become the joy of our hearts. Amen and amen.
Our opening hymn this morning is Holy, 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 page 64 in our hymnals or up on the monitor. Seated.
We'd like to have our children come up at this time. On up. How are you this morning? I'm glad that you're here. Can come up further if you want. If she bites you, I'll get after her. I don't think she will. So this morning, in our lesson, we're going to talk about some seeds. And I know I'm a little past the game here of planting the seeds, but that's what our lectionary scripture was on today. The lectionary scripture, I'm just going to say briefly, is a kind of a guideline so that pastors and other people that go around and speak can make sure they hit on all the different stories in the Bible. And they don't just pick out certain favorite ones. They, over a 3-year period of time, you hit every single one of those scriptures. So that's, anyway, just a little background. We're talking about seeds today. Next week, we're going to talk about plants. But when God plants those seeds in our life, that's why we're here today, isn't it? So that we can let those seeds that have been planted in our hearts to grow for Christ and to learn more about Him and to learn to love Him more every day of our lives, right? So when we plant those seeds, we plant them. We try. If you plant them for inside, you might have a little pot. Outside, you're probably going to dig up in your flower beds or in your garden with a hoe, maybe, or a rake or something. You're going to till up that soil. And so today, that's kind of what we're talking about, making sure that the seeds that God plants in our lives grow and grow and grow, so that as we grow, we learn to love the Lord even more. And that we not only grow in Him, and we not only learn more about Him, but we can help others to learn about Him too. So we call that nurturing. God nurtures us and grows us until we can accept Him for ourselves. And probably next spring, when you're about 10 or 11 or 12, we have a confirmation class. And in that confirmation class, we learn about taking on the responsibility of growing in Christ for ourselves. Our parents have brought us to church, our grandparents maybe, or our aunts or uncles, somebody's brought us to church so that we can learn about Christ. And then when you get old enough, you get to choose for yourself that path that you're going to go in helping others to know Jesus too. So when we talk about the seeds today, we're kind of all like seeds, aren't we? We're planted in that soil, and we get to choose to be strong, and we get to choose to be healthy. And we're healthy when we listen to good things. We're healthy when we are helping each other and we are doing what God asks us to do, aren't we? And then we become more healthy and more healthy, just like those little plants that grow up. And just like we saw last Friday, sometimes storms come up. And sometimes the wind gets real strong and we get lots of rain, and sometimes we get hail and we get nasty things that happen in our lives, but we still get to choose to be positive influences for each other as we grow in Christ. So that's what our goal is today, to be in good soil. God uses us as the image of the seeds, and He wants to plant us in good soil so we'll be strong to help everybody else around us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these kids. Thank you for teaching us that you love us unconditionally. Thank you for teaching us that you want us to grow in your love and your grace and your strength, not ours, but yours. And when we listen to good things, and when we read good things, and when we are nurtured through our churches and our families and those people around us that we surround ourselves with, then we will grow to love the Lord more and more every day. Thank you, Jesus, for allowing that to happen. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you, kids. Thank you very much.
The Old Testament reading this morning is found in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 34. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel an Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister Laban and Aram. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire to the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than another. The older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first came out was red, and his whole body was hairy garment. So they named him Izu. After this, his brother came out with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country. While Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents, Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why they also called him Edom. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore on an oath to him, selling him his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. May God add his blessing upon the reading of this word.
Certainly, as was mentioned earlier, we want to keep in prayer today all of the farmers and all of the people that have lost so much. Some of them have had great devastation in their lives because of these storms that happen on Friday. Things happen so fast, don't they, that we can't always prepare enough or predict those things. Even the weathermen, the best they try, many times are not exactly accurate on any of that, and not that we could cover and shelter our whole field of crop anyway, but for many that was just a devastation. In the immediate place that we were, we didn't have too much other than rain, but not a half a mile down the road, there were complete cornfields flattened. Completely flat. I don't think I've been in a tornado before, and I've never seen anything like it in my life. It just as if somebody came and mowed it down. Just terrible. And the bean fields were ravaged. Some of them just kind of looked like they were shredded. Just terrible devastation. And I know that that affects people greatly, their livelihood and their incomes and so much. So please, everyone listening out there and everyone here, please continue to pray for those that lost a great deal. We are pretty fortunate, aren't we? Our building is still here. We were able to come in this morning and worship. There's quite a few trees around the KPAC Church, being a little bit more out in the country, and there's a cemetery out back with lots of trees. And our son called on his way home from work and said, "What in the world happened, Mom?" He works in Ortonville, and he said, "What in the world happened while I was at work?" And proceeded to tell us how bad the storm was on his way home. So we got in the car and took a little drive to make sure everything was okay. And much was not okay, but much was. And we're thankful that all three of our church buildings, Deckerville and KPAC and Sandusky, all did not get damaged, but a lot of other things did. But we're lucky that we can come in and worship and pray today together and thank the Lord for his hand of protection. This week we are also praying for a business in town, AVS Tech Team. Yes, we want to keep them in our prayers as well. Let's just bow before the Lord at this time, if you will bow with me, please. Gracious and loving, merciful God, we thank you that you have protected us, Lord, and we pray for those that lost everything, that lost their crops. that lost so much, so many other things that I probably am not even aware of, possibly machinery and just outbuildings and a lot of things, Lord. We thank you for your hand of protection. We pray for those that are in need of help with cleanup, that maybe don't even know how they're going to recover from the loss of the crops. Lord, we thank you that you are with us today. You sent your Holy Spirit into this place. You've allowed us, Lord, to worship together. I pray that you will filter in and among us as we sit here in this beautiful sanctuary, that you would filter in and among us, that we might feel your spirit. We might know your holy presence. And that we might be thankful in the things we can be thankful for. And grieve for our friends' losses where they are. Lord, we pray for your comfort and your strength. We pray that you will be with us, Lord. We pray for our church. We pray for our church family, for those that are listening today that aren't able to be here. For those that might be traveling. Lord, we thank you for the ministry that you have given this church, the ministry of being out on the airwaves on Sunday morning. As we pray together and as we sing together and as we conduct our worship together for one united cause, because we love you, Lord. And every one of us want to serve you with our whole beings. Lord, help us to do just that. Help us to center and focus on your mission in this world. That we might grow stronger as our roots grow deeper. That we might flourish into healthy plants. We might grow in your grace and your love, that we would nurture our neighbors and embrace our friends and show that love wherever we find ourselves, that we might grow together, support each other when one is down and needs a helping hand. Lord, let us reach out to be that helping hand, because you've been there for us to be that helping hand so many times. You've given us hope when it seems like there's nothing but discouragement. You've given us promise in your words. You have told us that we are all precious in your sight. And that you give us all opportunity to know you and to love you and to nurture our children to grow and love you. That we might go by example into the world and be what the world needs the very most right now. And that's peace and love and support and encouragement. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us here this day. We often feel burdened down by every day. Sometimes like we've been tossed on that rocky soil and left to struggle on our own, but we know differently, Lord. We know that we're never alone. We know that you're always with us. Sometimes we're tested. Sometimes we feel like we may be being choked out by those thorns of life, or that we're withering in the beating sun. We are here to choose a different path, to confirm our oaths with you, to admit our afflictions, to ask you to give us fresh and new life again. Perfect one, show us your ways. Bless us with all of your amazing, amazing blessings. even if it be just us opening our eyes up this morning and being able to get out of bed. Lord, we can always look for the negative, but when we choose to look for the positive, we see things with new eyes and with a new spirit, putting our hand in yours, knowing and trusting that you are leading us on the path that you would have us to go. Lord, life, I've learned, and many others as well, that it's about trusting in you. Not of our own understanding, but of you, Lord, and your way that you are loving on us, leading us, trusting that you know the past, present, and the future, and we don't. Lord, trusting in your ways, trusting that you are not going to lead us astray ever, and that we will continue to grow in you and love you. Help us not stray from that road. Help us to hear your word and understand it and bear your fruit for the world. God of love, remind us to listen. Remind us to understand and prepare our hearts as garden beds for your seeds of joy and your seeds of hope. May we receive your grace today and every day. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray these words together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen.
Our special music this morning is by June Potter. I almost said Karen's.
And I'm glad to be here. Didn't realize the other night that we were in the middle of that storm. We were on the road trying to get to Sandusky. Never was in a storm like that. But we made it. Stood on the bank of a wide raging river, trusting that I'd get across. And I've made my way through some valleys and deserts, believing I'd never get lost. I've been at the foot of what felt like Mount Everest, knowing I'd have the strength for the climb. And through every trial, each test and temptation, one thing is sure every time. Why I've no hesitation. God does what he says he will do. For I'd simply say every battle has taught me there's nothing he won't help me through. So why should I dwell on the hardships and struggles when I look just beyond them? I see the way this will end is a great celebration, and deep in my heart I believe. Over and over again and again, God is faithful. Over and over again and again, through it all, he's made me able to stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. But Jesus is with me, so I'll claim the victory over and over again. To stand and survive, to come through alive when it sure looked like I couldn't win. But Jesus is with me, so I'll claim the victory.
Thank you so much for that. That was wonderful. Thank you. Our New Testament reading this morning, if you'd like to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to skip to 18 to 23. Matthew chapter 13. The same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it. And while all the people stood on the shore, he told them many, many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path. And the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And then skipping to verse 18 of the same chapter. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word but worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word today. The word of God for the people of God. Amen. And amen. Well, sowing seeds is certainly something we know in this congregation, isn't it? We know it very well in our community. This is the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. And today we're going to reflect on Jesus telling his followers the parable of the sower and the seeds. And in this parable, Jesus describes four different future outcomes for each of the four types of seeds: the hardened path, the rocky ground, among the thorns, and the good soil. For Matthew's account of this parable, each of the four describes how we might live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. The parable of the sower in Matthew teaches us to nurture the soil of our lives as we listen to the word of God for understanding, for action, as we study it. As seeds are scattered near the path, we can count on the word of God as a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path, for even greater understanding. Taking those ideas into the world, we can learn to nurture ourselves. And it's not just about us, is it? It's about nurturing our neighbors and our friends as well. What are parables? Parables are short, relevant stories that Jesus told to communicate spiritual truths. I think it are things that he wants us to chew on a little bit, because they're not always really clear, are they? So I think he wants us to think about them and to study them and to decide for ourselves. Jesus used well-known aspects of first century life to help illustrate and communicate the message about his kingdom. The parables showcase the wisdom of Jesus as the master teacher, as our master teacher as well. But the parables served a unique function in Jesus' ministry in polarizing the crowds between those who hear him and those who truly understand him. And I know that we can hear things, but understanding them are another story sometimes, many times. I read this little piece, and I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to share a little bit of this with you this morning. This gentleman is telling a story. He was on vacation in the South, and he was stopping at a gas station at the edge of town to fill up his car before he was going to head for home. He said, "I went inside and I walked over to the cashier, and on the other side of the office was an elderly black man sitting. He was sitting in this chair. He was sitting up against the wall." He said, "I looked at him and said hello, and something kind of strange happened. He just nodded to me and he said, 'Boss.' He called me boss. And then he started, 40 cents a day I plowed those fields, boss. 40 cents a day. And then he kept getting louder and louder. 40 cents a day, I tell you. 40 cents, boss." And then he got his wallet out, and he held up two $1 bills. He was kind of quiet, and it was pretty evident that he was calculating in his head. Then he began waving the $2, and he said, "This was 5 days of my life, boss. 40 cents a day, 40 cents a day." The man goes on to say that he was filled with lots of thoughts and questions and certainly a lot of feelings. He said, "For the most part, I kept silent, not really sure what to do, what to think, or what to feel." But he goes on to say, "I've often thought about that man since that day." And as I read that, today's gospel comes to mind, thinking about the ground on which that man had walked. I suspect that he walked the hard path at times of prejudice, a path where not much grows, where life and opportunities are too quickly snatched away. I can only imagine that he knew what it was like to live between a rock and a hard place. We know what that means. On the rocky ground, life withers because you can't put down roots. There's no security or stability, and the sun scorches. He surely walked among the thorns of violence, fear, anger, and poverty during his days. I have no doubt that those thorns wrapped themselves around him and his family, choking away dignity, security, trust. I hope the best soil that he walked, though, was not the 40 cents a day soil that he had plowed. I hope that he stood in the dark, rich soil that nourished life, love, and hope. We may not have plowed fields for 40 cents a day, but we all know the different landscapes of which Jesus speaks. We know the beaten path of life. We've certainly all stumbled at times through the rocky patches of life. We've been scratched and cut by the thorns. And we planted our roots deep in the sacred soil of life that feeds and grows us to become a harvest. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Jesus is not just describing different types of soil or circumstances of life. He's describing our inner geography. These are the various landscapes of the human heart. We've met these in others and discovered them also in ourselves. We're rarely just one type of soil, but many times we're all four. The four soils are descriptive of how we live and relate to others and to God. Jesus' interpretation of the parable, when he tells what happens to the seeds, describes the consequences of each kind of life. At one level, the parable invites us to be self-reflective and examine the kind of life that we're living. That's important work, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, of course. I think that's how we most often use and sometimes even abuse this parable. We live in a world that thrives on competition, comparison, and judgment. So we reduce the parable to one obvious question: what kind of dirt are you? In doing so, we put ourselves in the center of that parable. We push kind of the sower out into the background. The "what kind of dirt are you" question is not, however, the only way to read this parable. And that's kind of the difficulty with parables. We tend to read and try to understand them through the lens of our world and worldview. The result is that we hear, but we don't always understand. We see, but we don't always perceive. The parable doesn't always make sense as we apply it to this world. But listen a little closer. A farmer goes out and sows seeds on a public pathway, on rocky ground, and amongst the thorns. In our world, we would say, well, that's simply wasteful. That's inefficient. That's ineffective. It's bad farming. The sower is not much of a farmer, because you can't plant seeds among the rocks and thorns or in a path and then act surprised or complain that nothing grew. The story Jesus tells simply does not fit into our world. To know that is the beginning of understanding this parable. Because parables offer a different perspective, a new view. They give us a glimpse into God's world and what God is actually like. They heal our ears, they heal our eyes so that we might hear and understand, see, and perceive. Parables are not meant to test human intelligence. They are cones of grace that test your heart's willingness to surrender to and be enveloped in the always amazing and surprisingly generous work of God in our lives. The surprising generosity of God is exactly what this parable of the sower reveals. As different as those four soils are, they all hold two things in common: seeds and the sower. The sower sows the same seeds in all four soils with equal toil, equal hope, equal generosity. The sower does so without evaluation of the soil's quality or potential. There is no soil left unsown. No ground is declared undeserving of the sower's seed. This is not about the quality of the dirt. It's about the quality of God, the divine sower. We want to judge what kind of dirt we are. God simply wants to sow his life into ours. Whether we're 40 cents a day soil or $400 a day soil, we are sown with the seeds of God. No life, no person, no soil is left unsown. Isn't that comforting? To know that whatever we think of ourselves, God sees us as equal. He sees us as valued and treasured. Those of you that like to plant those seeds, whether it be a flower garden, a vegetable garden, whether it be a crop in a field, we plant them trusting and knowing that God's going to provide for us. He's going to give us the sunshine. He's going to give us some rain, a lot of rain sometimes, none and then lots. Well, we don't know why, do we? We can't calculate that. We can't predict any of that. But we trust that God knows what he's doing. And we know that he does not waste seed. He does not waste in any way, shape, or form. He gives us what we need to use to become that strong plant. And next week, we're going to get to talk about plants and weeds. And we know every farmer has weeds that we try to get rid of very, very badly. We like to get rid of the weeds. And it doesn't always happen. But he teaches us how to be strong in the midst of all of that. He teaches us how to find the fertile soil and to nurture ourselves in that. You know, when I was a youth pastor, we always talked about what we'd feed our minds with. And what you feed your minds with many times is what you produce in your life. What you soak in is what you produce as well. So when we soak in God and we soak in what he has for us, then we will be able to share that with other people. Because it's not about just keeping it for ourselves, is it? It's for being able to change your life in order to make a difference in somebody else's. How comforting it is to know that the Lord gives every single one of us the same opportunity. And yes, we know people that struggle every single day. And we know people that we look over the fence and we think, boy, they got it pretty good. Look how much greener the grass is over there than it is on my side. If I could only have a little bit of that. But it's not always so, is it? I read a story, and I'm not going to be... I wish I would have thought to find it before today. But there was a story, and it was about this man was visiting with a neighbor, and the neighbor was always upbeat and always cheerful and always happy and always seemed like they had whatever they needed, and everything was good. He said, boy, I wish I didn't have any problems. They don't have a problem in the world. They just have everything they want, and they don't have to struggle and fret and worry like I do. And then one day he found out some of the trials and tribulations of his neighbor and how they had made the choice to take what they had endured to be better and stronger and to help other people. Where this man was out and about complaining about all of his bad times and his struggles, these people were feeding others with generosity of their spirit, finding the good. Lady came up to me this morning in church earlier and said to me, you know, I got up this morning. I was able to get up out of bed this morning. She said, I got aches and pains, and I'm limping in here. And she said, I have a world of things I could complain about. But she said, you know what? I had to stop and remember that I was able to open my eyes up this morning, and I was able to crawl out of bed, and I was able to get in my car and come here to church. She said, some days when there's nothing else that you can find good, there's always something you can find good. There's always something God provides for us. And sometimes it may look like our neighbor has it pretty good and they're not struggling in the least. And you might find out that there's a different story behind all of that. It's our choice, isn't it? It's our choice whether to see the cup half full or the cup half empty. Amen. It's so true, isn't it? We've all had our struggles. We've all had our thorny days. We've all had our days that we just felt completely scratched up and useless. There's another little reading that I also didn't bring this morning, and my memory isn't always the greatest, but it's something about sliding into heaven sideways, all bruised up and battered and scarred, and saying, here I am, Lord. And he says, praise God, you used your life. You used your life. Battle scars and all, here you are. I don't think he intends for us to enter into heaven without. He knows life is tough. He knows the way is very unclear so much of the time. But he lights our path if we give him a chance. He will light our path. He will show us the way. And he will not leave us in the dark like your flashlight battery's going out. It will not happen with the Lord. Thankfully, the parable is about God's faithfulness, not really about farming so much or soil quality or how things work in the world. In the sower's world, wastefulness gives way to hope, inefficiency to love, and profitability into generosity. Every part of your life has been sown with the seeds of God, and you know what happens to seeds? Given the right conditions, apple seeds become apples, peach seeds become peaches, and God's seeds help us to be more like God. Just brought to mind this morning the parable, the story of the generosity of opening up that very valuable perfume to anoint the feet of Jesus. It looks one way to some. What are you wasting that on? And Jesus blessed her because she was using it to anoint his feet. Let's use what we are for God to bring others along with us, to love on our neighbors, to sow those seeds and to help them be nurtured. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for teaching us, for showing us the lamp on our path. We give you thanks that we are here today, that we are able to be here today, that our church is intact. And Lord, I pray that our hearts are intact as well as we continue to grow in your grace and love. In Jesus' name, amen. If we can have our ushers at this time for our morning offering.
I think we got the right one this time. So long, I've searched for life's meaning. Enslaved by the world and my greed, then the door of my prison was opened by love. The ransom was paid. I am free.
I'm
Lord, just as your word is a light to our path, may our offering of praise be a light to the world. In this season of fruitful gardens, help us to share bountiful harvests. Whether our offering be of our time, wealth, or prayer, receive and multiply these gifts through the glory of your love. Amen and amen. Our closing hymn is 369, Blessed Assurance. Amen. Good singing today. Good singing this morning. May your path be gentle, your soil rich, and your weeds small. As you go forth into the world, look for gardens to water, feed, and cultivate. Nurture the love of Christ in others as well as in yourselves. Amen and amen. We are having our gathering downstairs in Wesley Hall following this service, so please come and join us. You are welcome to join us. And we will sing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds in closing. Amen and amen.